If you would, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. For those of you who are not aware of this, I used to live and work, Jeanette and I did, for 23 years at a Christian children's home called Camp Tracy Children's Home. And I had a habit of every morning, I would do a devotional with the boys. We had teenage boys and teenage girls, and I primarily worked with the boys. And so, it was December the 19th, 2007. Just a day or two before all the students would go home for Christmas. And they lived at Camp Tracy 7 days a week. They never went home. They lived there for approximately a year to a year and a half. But at Christmas time, we always allowed them the opportunity to go home for 3 days. And so we are here in December, just a day or two before they would be going home. And we were sharing blessings and prayer requests. And one of the boys raised his hand. And he asked for prayer for himself that he wouldn't make bad decisions when he went home. It was common for the boys and the girls to, when they would get home, they would just go hog wild, so to speak, and do all the things that they were wanting to do that they couldn't do when they were at Camp Tracy. Because we held a pretty tight thumb on them. Okay. This particular boy was concerned, believe it or not, that he would make some bad decisions. Many of the boys and many of the girls weren't concerned at all. They were looking forward to it. This one had begun to learn in the time that he had been there at Camp Tracy that the decisions that he made had consequences. And he didn't want to make bad choices again. And he was concerned about it. He was asking for prayer that he wouldn't. And I said to him, well, what makes you think that you're going to make bad decisions at home worse than what you would make here? And he said, well, I have the wrong kinds of friends at home. I have bad music. I have my own stereo, drugs, internet at my fingertips. He also said another reason why it's easier to do right at Camp Tracy is because there's people here that are regularly trying to help me, and they talk about spiritual matters to me on a pretty regular basis. I asked him, I said, well, And by the way, he said, I don't get that at home. I said, is there anything else that would cause you to be obedient here, but not at home? He said, oh, absolutely. Because here at the camp, we have consequences for our wrongdoings. I don't get that at home. I thought about this. It really had an impact on me. I don't know if it did him or anybody else, but it did me. And it made me see some things, not only from his words, but also in God's word, right here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Three things that are missing in our homes. We're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word. Lord, your word is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's also a mirror. And Lord, I pray that you would show us this morning what you want us to see. Penetrate our hearts. Open our eyes and show us the things that you need us to change in our life. Lord, help us to see these things and to make a change, to take action. Lord, please help me to say the things that I should. Help me to relay your message to your people accurately. And I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I realize that some of you in this audience today have children in your home, and some of you don't. Some of you, your children have left home and have had children of their own. And maybe those children have even have had children. But these three things are still important.
Yes, they are.
In our homes. And so I hope that you pay attention to what the Holy Spirit has to say to you. And I don't know what that is. I know what I have on my paper. But sometimes God says things to you and I that it's not said in words.
Amen.
So I would covet more earnestly that you listen to the Holy Spirit more so than to me.
Amen.
But the first thing that is missing in our homes that this boy revealed that was definitely missing in his home was spiritual training and influence. He said, Brother Bruce, I constantly have people around here that are trying to help me spiritually with God's word, with biblical precepts. I don't get that at home. Which is probably one of the reasons that he had to come to Camp Tracy to begin with.
Amen.
Because his parents were not training him biblically. We just read here in Deuteronomy that God said that we are to diligently teach the precepts of God's word to our children. And I think that in order to get the full impact of this passage, we got to understand some of these words. And the word diligent means a constant effort to accomplish something, attentive and persistent in doing anything, done or pursued with persevering, painstaking attention. And if you've had children, and most of you have, the word painstaking fits very well with raising children, right? It's not easy. It's difficult. You find yourself up late at night when you're supposed to be sleeping. You find yourself on your knees crying, praying. You find yourself brokenhearted, right? So to be diligent definitely is going to be a painstaking effort. Raising children is not supposed to be easy. I will say this. Sometimes we make it harder on ourselves.
True.
We're going to talk about that later on. But raising children is not easy. I believe that marriage is probably God's primary classroom to make us more like Jesus.
Yes.
And He uses the mistakes, the bad habits, the bad choices that our spouse makes to help us to become more like Jesus. We were just reading this morning in 1 Kings. And the Bible says, and the Rehoboam, you know, Rehoboam made some bad choices in the beginning. He actually made some good ones later on if you read through the story.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, he really blundered.
Yeah.
He didn't pay attention to the wise men. He listened to the unwise men and did what they suggested. But the Bible says, but this happened because it was of God. Sounds a little bit odd, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Why would it be of God for Rehoboam to make a bad choice? Well, it wasn't of God for him to make a bad choice, but God knew that he was going to. And it fit into his plan. God knew that I was going to make some bad choices as a husband. And it fit into his plan to make Jeanette to be more like Jesus. I shouldn't have made the bad choices. She shouldn't have made the bad choices that she made. But they were part of God's plan to make me more like Jesus. Raising kids is like that too.
Yes, it is.
They make bad choices.
Amen.
And sometimes it almost seems like they do it on purpose.
Oh.
Right? And when they make bad choices, it hurts us. Sometimes emotionally, in our heart. Sometimes physically.
Amen.
Sometimes financially.
Yes.
Right? So raising kids is not easy. Yet God gives us His plan on doing this. Remember, we're talking about three things that are missing in our homes. And the first one is spiritual training and influence. The next word is the word train. This is a verb. Yes, it's a noun. That's that thing that goes down the tracks. But that ain't what we're talking about here. This verb, train, means to develop or to form the habits, the thoughts, or behavior of a child or other person by discipline or instruction. That's pretty heavy. You know, many parents today think that the goal of being a parent is to exist until they're 18.
Okay.
That's not the goal of the parent. Not if you read right here in Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Amen.
The goal of a parent is not to just exist until they're out of the home.
No.
Or exist until they get back in bed where I can have a little bit of me time. That's not the goal of a parent. The goal of a parent is to train.
Amen.
Parents are not raising children. They're raising adults.
Amen.
I heard a guy say one time, he said, you raise your adolescent by the time they are 1 year old with the kind of discipline and training that you've given them from birth until 1 year old. He said, you've raised your teenager by the time they're 3 years old. Meaning, they will respond to you at 15 the way they do at 3 if you have done it correctly. He also said this. He said, determine what kind of adult you want your child to become, and then become that adult. Then when they grow up to act like you, don't be aggravated about it. Amen. Raising children is not easy.
No.
Parents, determine what kind of adults you want your children to become. You want them to be godly? You've got to be godly.
Amen.
You want them to be productive citizens? You have to be a productive citizen. This has to be done deliberately. It won't happen on accident. Listen carefully right here, especially for those of you that have small children. Every disobedient act is a training opportunity, not a bad a mistake, not an incident, not a bad choice that they made. This is a training opportunity.
Amen.
And sometimes you set them up for a training opportunity by doing this. Say no. You don't know a person until you tell them
no.
And when you do, and by the way, that goes for adults also. When you tell a person no, sometimes their true colors are going to come out. Adults can hide it a little better than children. Children tend to just let it fly immediately as soon as they hear the word no. But when they hear that word and it happens, this is a training opportunity. Incorporate biblical principles in the training process. Brother Bruce, what are the biblical principles? Well, they're all through the Bible.
Amen.
Proverbs is compacted with lots of biblical training information.
Yes.
But I think the best one we just read here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's look at it again. And thou shalt, verse 7, thou shalt teach them who? Our children. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them, them being God's precepts, talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What's he saying? He's saying that God's way must be so interwoven in your life that you can't help but to talk about it all throughout the day.
Amen. That's what I'm talking
about. Brother Bruce, I don't want to be a fanatic.
That's all right.
I don't want to be over spiritual. I don't want to be constantly preaching to my children.
It's all right.
Well, what do you want? What do you want?
Right.
Let's fast forward 5 years, 10 years, however far it is from the time now until the time that your child becomes an adult. What do you want from your child, out of your child? What do you want to see?
Yes.
What do you want? What do you expect? Yes, you can overdo it, I think. But that's only done because of hypocrisy.
Yes.
Hypocrisy is when I say to my child, you will obey me when I tell you what to do. And then he watches me disobey God. That's hypocrisy.
Yes.
That will lead a child to become a rebellious person.
Amen.
Maybe not in the home, but it will when they leave home.
Yes.
Hypocrisy is probably one of the things that leads most of our children away from church. When they can finally make that decision on their own. The second thing that's missing in our families is guarding our families from sinful temptations. Now, I wrote this back in 2007. This was before cell phones were a big thing for teenagers. It was just beginning. During this era, some of the boys and girls had a cell phone, but it was typically going to be a flip phone, not an iPhone. It didn't have the internet. You could make a phone call with it. That's about it. But today, we have a lot of sinful temptations at our fingertips, don't we? And we put it in the hands of our children and walk away. You'll notice here in Deuteronomy, if you read the whole chapter, that God had separated Israel from Egypt. Why did he do that? Well, Egypt had a lot of influence on Israel. In fact, even when they were going into Canaan in chapter 7, God tells them to kill all of their enemies, all of the heathen. Why? Because Because they will turn your hearts away from following me. In fact, to be specific, he said they will turn the hearts of your children away from turning, or turn away from following me. He was trying to get the bad influence away from them.
Yes, he was.
Okay? This boy at Camp Tracy had everything he wanted at his fingertips. He could go into his bedroom and shut the door and listen to any kind of music he wanted to. Today, they listen to it through earbuds.
Yes.
And we have no idea what they're listening to. They have it in books. We don't even know what they're reading.
My God, help
us. Some of you do. Some of you may not. All I'm saying is, this is missing in our homes today, many of our homes, where that we guard on purpose and diligently our children and husbands, our wives, from sinful temptations. Psalms 1, if you want to turn there, you can. Psalms chapter 1. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Blessed or happy is this man who stays away from influences that are wrong.
Yes, 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 Lord.
I have a question. Do you allow things to come across your eye gate or your ear gate that is bad? I heard a guy say the other day, he says, "You know, I can't let my grandson watch the same thing that I watch." And I was about to ask him why, but he went ahead and gave the answer. He said, because, I mean, you know, they got women in bikinis up there, and he don't need to see that.
Then you don't need to see it either.
It don't bother me. But he don't need to see that. Now, why didn't it bother? I don't believe that, for one thing. I think it did. But if it's wrong for him, it's wrong for him. But I, Brother Bruce, I have more spirituality. I'm more mature. I can handle this. No, we can't handle sin.
That's right.
Sin is going to affect you and I in a bad way every single time. And the more that we allow it to influence us, the more it's going to influence us. In fact, it's already got you thinking that it doesn't influence you.
Teach. Tell the truth.
So what is it
Amen.
That you allow to come across your TV,
Jesus,
your radio, your phone, that you wouldn't want your grandkids watching?
Right.
Or better yet, that you would feel a little weird if Jesus was sitting there looking at it over your shoulder. Turn it off. Get rid of it. I know it may be funny, it might be interesting, whatever, or you just like it, but it's sin. Get rid of it.
Amen.
You can't expect to have a proper influence over those in your home when you have that sort of thing in front of your eyes.
Amen.
Number three. When I asked this boy, is there anything else that might cause you to make good choices here at Camp Tracy that you wouldn't make at home? He says, oh yeah, I get in trouble for it here.
Yeah.
I have to face consequences here.
Amen. People don't like consequences.
So what he was saying was, I don't get disciplined at home. I don't get in trouble for the bad choices I make at home. You know, all through the Bible, God shows us constantly,
yes, he does,
that there are consequences for sin.
Yes.
Your sin, my sin, yes. Right? And the best way to teach our child to fear God and to fear His consequence is to show him that, or her, that when they mess up in this home, that there's consequences.
Amen.
And that might be a little ruler. It might be a wooden spoon. It might be a belt. Or if your kids are a little older, it might even be a full-fledged piece of plywood cut into the shape of a paddle.
Okay.
I don't know. And I hope I don't offend any of you, but if I do, you might need to look in Proverbs to see what he said about it, because he uses words we don't use today. He said, if thou shalt beat him with the rod, thou shalt save his soul from hell. No, he's not saying that this is a new way of salvation. What he's saying is, you're going to teach your child to understand the fear of God before he even gets saved.
Glory to God.
So that one day he recognizes, I don't want to go to hell.
Exactly.
I need Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And he will accept Jesus one day because you disciplined him or her. When God says no, he means it. And so should we.
Exactly.
Brother Bruce, when do you draw the line with a child that's being disobedient? Well, you draw the line when they've been disobedient.
Amen.
In other words, if you say, come here, and they don't come here, they've been disobedient.
Yes.
When God said, as we learned this morning in Sunday school, God told the prophet, or the man of God, he said, go and tell Jeroboam so and so and so and so. And don't eat or drink anything until you make it back home. That was the command. So then this other guy comes up and says, I'm a prophet too. And why don't you come home and eat with me? And the man of God said, I can't do it. God said, I'm not supposed to do that. He said, well, God told me different. Come on home with me and eat with me. And that man of God did. And God allowed a lion to kill him because of it. When God said something to us, he means it.
Yes, he does.
And the best way for us to mirror God to our children is to mean it. When we say no, to mean it when we say come here, to mean it when we say don't do that again.
Amen.
Turn to Proverbs if you would. Proverbs chapter 13. We're talking about three things that are missing in our homes. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says this. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, or often. Look at chapter 19. Verse 18. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. He says, chasten thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. The first part of this verse implies that there comes a time that it's too late.
Amen.
The second part of this verse says, just because they start crying doesn't mean you need to show mercy.
Exactly.
They still need the spanking.
Yeah.
I used to do that when I was a kid. Before my mom or my dad or the principal of the school would even begin, I began crying, hoping that I would get mercy. Proverbs chapter 20, look at this, verse 30. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. What's he saying there?
Okay.
At Camp Tracy, we were told by the Department of Children and Families that their opinion of abuse was that if you left a red mark that lasted more than 20 minutes, you've abused them. Now, according to the verse we just read, they're incorrect.
Amen.
They just are. In other words, put it there and mean it.
Exactly.
Okay?
With intention.
There's many, we're not going to take the time to read them. There's many other verses in Proverbs that gives us very clear direction on how to discipline our children. James, he says that sin leads to death. So If we love those that we're responsible for, our desire will be to paint an accurate picture of sin and the result of it. Sin has consequences.
Yes.
Sin so bad that God had to send His only begotten Son.
Yes.
To go through a grueling crucifixion.
Yes.
To pay for our sin.
My God.
That's bad.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sin's not funny.
No, it's not.
We don't laugh at that little child because they're stomping their foot. That's not funny. That leads to death. God punishes us for our sin, and we too should implement consequences for the wrongdoing of our children. Again, these three things could possibly be missing from your home. The first one is spiritual training and influence. If your children are out of your home, you're still influencing them.
That's right.
They're still watching you.
Amen. Even more.
They still need your spiritual influence.
Yes.
The second one is guarding our family from sinful temptation, better known as sheltering nowadays.
Yeah.
But they need that.
They need,
a certain level of sheltering.
Yes.
But all the other kids have cell phones. All the other kids, they have this, they have that. And look where they're going. Look what they're becoming.
Yes.
The third one is consequences for disobedience. There has to be consequences for our disobedience. By the way, the first one, spiritual training and influence, before we can implement things like that into our home, we have to be that person before we can lead someone to become that person. You cannot lead in a direction that you're not going.
Amen.
We must be the spiritual leaders in our homes, or we cannot lead our children or our grandchildren in the direction that they need to be going.
Amen.
We can't. And that's why earlier I asked you, what are you allowing to come before your eye gate and your ear gates that you would not want your grandchildren to see or hear? Get rid of it.
Yes.
Because you're leading them in that direction.
My God.
They know. You might not think that they do, but they know what you do and what you don't do that you should do.
Amen.
They know. And you're influencing them. Let's pray.